Good evening. Welcome to part 12 of Halachas of Bishul. At the very end of last week, we started Chazara, meaning we started the Halachas of Chazara, but before we Chazar Chazara, let's Chazar something right before Chazara. And that was the concept of Kedera Chaisa. The Gemara told us that if a person were to place a piece of meat, and it's not just a piece of meat, any raw item that takes a while to cook, like a raw potato, a raw kidney bean, and the person was to throw it in a pot immediately, right before Shabbos, then they will never need a blech. That's what the Gemara says. That's called Kedera Chaita. Chai in Hebrew doesn't just mean alive, it means raw. A raw pot. Why is it mutter to leave something in a pot without a blech? So the Gemara explains as follows. What's the whole concern that we have why we do necessitate a blech? We're concerned somebody might stoke the coals. If I leave something that's not cooked, that's not fully cooked, that's not properly cooked on an open flame, in my nervousness, I might freak out to make sure that it gets cooked, and I might forget myself for a moment and stoke the flame. Therefore, accordingly, the Gemara reasons that if I put something that is completely raw and it will take a bunch of hours to cook, such that even if I were to stoke the flame, on Friday night, it will still not be ready for the Friday night meal. And in order to be ready for the Shabbos lunch meal, it's going to cook anyway without me stoking it. So there's no motivation at all, not on Friday night nor on Shabbos morning, for me to ever stoke the flames. Even if I do, it's not going to help Friday night. And even if I don't, it's not going to be necessary to stoke it for Shabbos lunch. So therefore, there's no concern that I might stoke. If there's no concern, there's no need for a blech. Because the whole point of a blech is to remind me not to forget myself lest I stoke the flames. That's called the leniency of Kedera Chaita. According to that, if a person comes home Friday afternoon, wants to put up their challenge, and we try to always make sure that there is sufficient cooking before Shabbos, it's at least half done, for example, well, this is a solution. You didn't have time to get it half done before Shabbos. You don't have a blech. You don't have any aluminum foil to line your pot or your crock pot with, so you don't have a blech. So are you not allowed to leave it Friday afternoon? Well, theoretically, you can't. Oh, we have the solution. Just drop in right before you light Shabbos candles a chunk of meat or a raw potato such that it will be impossible to get cooked by tonight. And by tomorrow anyway, it will be cooked, and that solves the problem. That's what the Gemara says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and that is not halach lemaisa. And we concluded last week explaining that the reason why the poskim, specifically Rav Henkin, who is the big posik of America prior to Rav Moshe Feinstein, said that this does not work nowadays, is it's based on a logic that the logic doesn't work nowadays. It's based on the logic that if you put something in Friday right before Shabbos, it can't be cooked by Friday night meal. And our cooking is so effective and stronger than the cooking in the time of the Shulchan Aruch and certainly in the time of the Gemara. Our cooking will allow anything to be cooked by the end of a Friday night meal. And therefore, there will be a concern, says Rav Henkin, with our modern day cooking means that it will be possibly cooked by tonight, by Friday night, and therefore we're going to be worried somebody might stoke it for Friday night. That's the logic of Kedera Chaisa, why Rav Henkin said it did not work. That was from last week. Then we introduced the concept of Chazara. Chazara is, I take something off the flame on Shabbos, I want to put it back on the flame for Shabbos. We said that there was a machlokas, we showed him what the issue could be. The issue could be either that if I take it off and then I want to put it back on the flame, I might come to stoke the flame. Or by doing an act of putting something on top of... Could everyone hear me with the mic? Great. By doing an act of placing something on top of a flame, that might be, in the Lashon of the Rishonim, Mechezei Kimevashel. Or in Hebrew, nir'eh kimevashel, it looks like you're cooking. I'm doing an act that, you know, to the outside, untrained eye, someone who just sees me doing an act of taking a pot, putting it on a fire, it looks like I'm cooking, even if it has a blech. It still looks like I'm putting something that wasn't on a fire, like I'm cooking. Those were two opinions in the Rishonim. Which one do we paskin like? That's a gigantic machlokas, and perhaps we are concerned with both concerns. In other words, you have to satisfy, in order to allow chazara to happen, you have to make sure you avoid the shema yechata b'gechalim, that you don't stoke the coals, and also that it not look like you're cooking. That will come to when we talk about hot plates, either at the end of today or possibly more reasonably next week. We said at the very end of last week, we reviewed quickly that there are five conditions which enable a person to do chazara, and there are really only three conditions, plus two guarantees that you're not going to actually violate the iser of cooking, which of course you're not allowed to do. To make sure you don't do cooking, well, if something is not mevushal kol tzarko, and you're going to put it back on a flame, you're causing it to cook, to finish cooking. That's obviously a problem, possibly even mida araisa. Secondly, if it's a liquid and it has cooled off, so also if you put it back on a flame after a liquid cooled off, you're making a liquid heat up, that also is going to violate cooking. So those two concerns, that it has to be mevushal kol tzarko and odo cham, still hot, that's not really the halachas of chazara, that's just a means to avoid the problem of cooking on Shabbos. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaro. The three concerns that Chazal instituted to enable me to do chazara, that is that A, I need a blech, B, that it has to be a continuation of the original cooking that I did. The continuation of whatever this pot was sitting on the fire until now, it's just a continuation. It's not a new placement. How do I make sure that something's a continuation and not a new placement? In two ways. Firstly, that I didn't put it down. I didn't put it down on the ground, because if I would take it off the flame, put it down on the ground, that's my way of saying, finish, endict, that's Yiddish, endikin, Yiddish, finito, we're done. And if I would resume to place it back on the flame, that would be a new activity of putting something anew. In halacha called nesina chadasha, which would be a problem. So I have to make sure I don't put it down. And secondly, I have to have in my mind that I'm going to return it. As long as it's in my mind that I will return it, that's still a continuation of what I was doing until now. Tonight I want to focus on, at the very end of last week, the Be'er Halacha on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah had two leniencies. The five conditions that we said, some of them are flexible, some are not. You always, always have to make sure that there's no bishul. So you always need that it is mevushal kol tzarko, that it's fully cooked before you put something back. So again, Friday night, you taste your challant, and as we mentioned earlier, you say, oh my gosh, the kidney beans aren't fully cooked. It's over. You can't put it back on. Finished. Forget it. You don't have challant for tomorrow. Because it's not mevushal kol tzarko. Okay, so you're going to make sure it's not. You're going to make sure that it is mevushal kol tzarko. It always has to be warm if you want to put up, continue to heat up something that's a liquid, and you always need a blech. The other two, the last two, there's a little bit of flexibility. What are they? That it has to be in your mind, and it has to be odo biyado, still in your hand. There, the Be'er Halacha says on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah that if you have one without the other, it could still be okay. As follows, the two examples were: if it's still in your hand, you take it off, and you did not intend to return it. You did not have diet to lahachzir. But since it's still in your hand, you will be permitted to return it. That's not lechatchila. Lechatchila, you have to have all five conditions, and you have to have the intention with your mind, I do want to return it, and keeping it, holding it in your hand. But if you did one without the other, b'di'eved, you took it off, it's in your hand, I forgot to have in mind to return it, or I didn't have in mind to return it, says the Be'er Halacha, you are permitted, b'di'eved, to return it. And the inverse is true as well, says the Be'er Halacha. If I had in mind that I do want to return it, even after I put it down and I'm no longer holding it, then I will be able to return it to the blech. I will be able to return it to the aluminum foil covering my crock pot. So for example, let's say I take my crock pot off the crock pot base on Friday night to taste the challant at 11 o'clock at night, Friday night, and I have in mind, of course, to taste a little bit, put it back, and we'll serve it for lunch tomorrow. There's no one awake at 11, 11:30 at night to help me. So I put it down, and I let go with both hands. Oh my gosh, I should have held on to it at least with one hand and grabbed the ladle or the spoon with my other hand, but I forgot myself for a moment. I put it down with both hands and went to the drawer to get that ladle, to get that spoon. Says the Mishnah Brura, that will still be okay, bidyaved, since I still had the proper kavana that I intend to return it to the flame. That was what we spoke about last week. Any questions on last week? Yes. That we spoke about that a few weeks ago. If you do line your challant pot before Shabbos, then it's okay, mi'ikar hadin, even if your challant is not cooked. Still, you should try to have it half-cooked before Shabbos. At least half-cooked you should try, and if you can't even do that, if you have a blech, that will allow you to leave your challant on the flame on Friday afternoon. Because man has that kederach hayis is not a leniency at all. Okay, so now let's start the new aspects of chazara. When we were talking about letting go of something, I take my pot off the flame, I put it down, or I'm holding it. There's one important thing we have to keep in mind. We said the Mishnah Brura's kula was that if something is in your mind to return to the fire, then even if you let go by mistake, you could still return it. That's as long as it hasn't been put on the floor. Once you put it down on the floor, on the ground, that's the end of the story. Now, what happens about the following? Well, let's just understand that before we go on. What's the logic of once something is placed on the floor, I can no longer return it to the flame, even if I have kavana? The logic is... Yeah, when I put something on the floor, that means I concluded whatever cooking I've done. It's on the floor, it's finished. The floor is just like putting something in a fridge. Putting something in the fridge, putting it on the floor, I finished whatever cooking I did. Now you want to put it back on the flame? That's a nesina chadasha, a brand new placement. That's definitely aser. Let's say, and again, we have to sort of get ourselves out of our 20th century kitchens and back to the chatzer of yesteryear where there were no cabinets and there were no, pantries that we were working. We were just sort of, you have a floor. Maybe they had a table somewhere, but there's a floor. You worked on the floor, you put it on top of the coals, you took it out. Let's say I put something on the floor. Again, just remember you're in a kitchen without any countertops. I put something on the floor, but I'm still holding on to it. So there, we said, if you put something on the floor, you let go, you relinquish your hand, your grasp. So then, you're done with. There's nothing you could do to return it. Even if you have kavana to return, you're not going to be able to. But what happens if you place it on the floor and you're still holding on to it? So there, many are machmir. However, Moshe Feinstein is makel and says, as long as your hands are holding on to it, you can return it no matter what. Even if it is sitting on the ground, and this is a leniency that Moshe gives in Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet, Shaila Ayin Dalet 74. But a lot of others are machmir, say, no. Once it's on the floor, you're done with. So let's try to give you an example that could be even in our contemporary kitchens. Let's say you're in a camp. And as I remember from when I was in Camp Morasha in the Kollel program, we had our gigantic challant pot Friday night. All the guys would go down to taste the challant. You had 100 people tasting a challant Friday night. So that means the challant pot is big enough for 200 people to eat it for lunch as a proper meal and 100 people to taste it Friday night. It's a gigantic challant pot. Probably weighs at least 100 pounds, 150 pounds. So let's say these four or five brawny guys are going to lift up this challant pot. And they were, they're not going to be holding it in their arms while somebody spoons out 100 portions, right? They'll put it down on the ground. Oh my gosh, but once you put it down on the ground, you can't put it back. Isn't that what we've been saying? Ah, according to this kula of Rav Moshe Feinstein, as long as they still continue to hold onto it with their hands, even though they are resting it on the ground, they will still be able to return it to the fire because it was still in their hands. So that's a contemporary application, but other than that, we don't so often put things on the floor. We'll talk about our counters in about 12 seconds. But I told you that a lot of people argue in Rav Moshe. Many people say that once it's on the floor, I don't care if you're holding it or not. It's on the floor, that's finishing whatever you've done until now. It's over, finito. You can't put it back anymore, even if your hands are on it. Even within that, Rebbe Yashiv has a kula, and he says that if you sort of imagine this Tisha B'Av is the big pot, he says, if you don't rest it on the floor, but you sort of rest part of it on the floor, so the bottom, you know, one side, one facet of the base of the pot is resting on the floor, so the weight is not, you know, no longer on your hands, but you're still holding the other side suspended in the air, that Rebbe Yashiv says would be okay according to everybody. Meaning, even if you hold it, placing it on the floor is going to be a problem. But if you place it on the floor, but you're suspending the other side of the pot in midair, that would be okay according to everybody. But Rav Moshe Feinstein was even more makel, and he says even if it's fully on the floor, one will be permitted to put it back on the flame. So therefore, coming back to our big gigantic chon pot during the summer, lichatchil, if they wanted to be machmir for all the other opinions, when they lean it on the floor, they should try to sort of tilt it upwards a little bit so that part of it is still in the air. It's not fully resting on the floor. But if they can't, it's too heavy, I think we could certainly rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein's kula, that even though it's sitting on the floor, since they were grasping it, they will be permitted to return it to the flame. So now let's talk about what we follow to the next topic. What about in our kitchens where we don't put things on floors? We put them on countertops. We put them on tables. Well, if you remember from last week when I quoted the Gemara that introduced the concept of Chazara and the different requirements for Chazara and keeping it in your hand, the Gemara left off with a question that was teku, which the Gemara means that we don't know what the answer is. That question was, what happens if you take it off a flame and put it on a bed? Again, get out of our contemporary 20th century kitchens. We don't have countertops. So what else? You live in a one-room apartment, a one-room house, and you have a fire pit somewhere or a little tanur in the corner. And what else is there in your house? There's a bed or another bed, and that's your house. So you put it down where? Well, you don't want to put it on the floor. That's going to be a problem. That shows that you're finished. You're cooking. You're not going to be able to return it. So you put it on the bed. What the Gemara says, I don't know if you're allowed to return it. The Gemara says, teku. We said teku means one of two things. Either just let it be, let it stand. We don't know the answer. Or the more beautiful understanding, tishbi yitaretz kushiyotu ba'ayot, that Eliyahu Navi Eliyahu tishbi, when he comes, he'll answer all of our questions. That was the Gemara's background. So how do we paskin halacha l'maisa nowadays? Well, what's the status of a bed or a chair? On one hand, it's not on the floor, so it's better than the floor. But on the other hand, you're not holding it in your hand anymore. You put it down somewhere. So the poskim say that as long as it's still in your hand, I'm sorry, the poskim say that if you do just put it down on a chair, and let's assume that it is not in your hand anymore. If you put it down on a chair, then if you had kavana to return it, it's definitely okay. But if you put it down on a chair and you did not have kavana to return it, again, this is going to be complicated for 12 seconds. If you put it down on a chair without kavana to return it, this will be a machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah says that it only works if you put it down on a chair and you want to put it back on the flame later. It only helps if you had kavana to put it back on the flame for later. So if you had kavana and you put it down only on a chair, you could return it. The Chazon Ish, however, even though he's often a machmir, here he's mekel, again, more mekel than the Mishnah Berurah, and says that even if I didn't have in mind to return it, the fact that I put it on a chair and not on the floor, That's a saving grace. So I didn't put it on the floor. I only put it on a chair. I will still be allowed to return it. Okay, now let's get to real life. That was a chair. Tell me about a countertop. I want to know, I took my challenge, I took my pot of soup off the counter, off the flame, off the blech, off the hot plate, off the crock pot, and I put it on my counter, and I let go. Can I return it or not? So, well, is a counter the same as a chair? The poskim talked about a chair. What about a countertop? Believe it or not, it's a new shaila. It's a shaila. It's only from the past century or so. What are the two sides of the coin? On one hand, a countertop and a chair is the same thing. I'm putting it somewhere, but not on the ground. But wait a second. What happens when you finish with a pot on the stove? Where do you put it? Where? You had something cooking in the oven, on the stovetop. Now you don't want it to cook anymore. Where do you put it? On the countertop. So based on what you just told me, that you put it on a countertop, that means in your minds, putting something on a countertop is like putting it on the ground in the olden days, which is going to be a gigantic chumrah, which means that according to what you're arguing, or what I'm putting into your mouths as arguing, taking something off the flame, putting it on a countertop, in your minds you're saying that that means you finished cooking, it's done with, and now you're not going to be able to return it. So here, the poskim are not as machmir as you, and they say, ultimately, a counter might be, you know, if you put it in the fridge, that's definitely finished. You're finished. You're really done. That's the same as putting it on the floor. You're finished. You're not cooking anymore. You put it in the fridge. It's for tomorrow, for a week later, for leftovers on Tuesday night. However, if you only put it on the counter, the poskim, both Rabbi Yoshev and Rav Shlomo Zalman, are mekel that if you did put it down on the countertop, even if you let go, you will be permitted to return it to the fire. And this halach lamais is very, very nogeya, is very applicable, because again, you take a crock pot and you're going to put it down, and then you either forget to put it down, you forget to hold on to it, or you need two hands to, I don't know, get a spoon, or the spoons are all the way on the other side of the kitchen, and the place to put the pot down is on the opposite side of the kitchen, so you have to put it down first and then go run to get your spoon. You have to leave it. You can't reach, hold the pot with one hand and reach your hand with the other hand. You have to let go. So here, if you have kavanah to return it, and the fact that it's on the countertop will be okay. That's not going to be a problem. Any questions about countertops? Taking something off the flame, putting it on a counter, you still can return it even though you're not supposed to put it down. If you did put it down on a countertop, it's okay. Fine. Let's talk about, question. Bring it to a table. Table would be the same as a countertop. Yeah. Table same as a countertop. Thank you. Until now, we were talking about the fourth of the five conditions, and that's the condition that has to be biado. It's still in your hand. Let's now talk about the fifth condition of chazara, and that bida'ato, that it has to be in your mind, that you have to have kavana to return it. Let's try to get the parameters of how much in your mind does it have to be that you're going to take it off the flame and put it back on the flame. And listen to this question. You might smirk and say, oh, come on. And I'll show you three or four practical applications that are going to emanate from this question. But before we ask the question, just please put on your Gemara caps. Okay? It's going to be a very lumdishy question. The question is, you have to have in mind, you have to have kavana, when you take something off a flame, that you're going to put it back on. Now, does that mean that you have to have a positive intention of keeping this thing still in its cooking process? Or it's just that you can't have the intention of stopping the cooking process? Let me say that in different words. Is it that we know you're not allowed to have a nesina chadasha, a new pudding on a flame. So therefore, to make sure that you don't have a nesina chadasha, you have to continually have intention that it's on the flame now, I take it off the flame, but I have in mind to put it back on the flame. And that having in mind to, yes, put it back on the flame, that's what makes it not a new putting back when I do ultimately put it back. It's just continuing what was before because I had that positive chiyuvi intention to return it. Or it's not that I need a positive intent, it's just that I have to not be taking it off for good. As long as I didn't intend to remove it for good, I'm fine. Does it sound like I'm saying the same thing? Let me give you three or four examples, and each one of these is going to be the litmus test to determine which one of the two sides of the coin will be right. It's hard to picture how this would happen, but bear with me and you'll see. You'll get the concept, and then we'll talk about things that are more practical. You have a pot on the blech, and there's an earthquake, and it slips off. Or without an earthquake. It slips off the blech. So, did you have intention to return it? You didn't even take it off. Are you going to be able to put it back on? It slips off. You didn't know about it. You weren't even in the room. It just slipped off the blech. The blech was a little... We have a hot plate, a plata, and non-adjustable because it solves a lot of halachic issues. And the plata has four legs. And I think in our putting it away sideways in the bottom of our closet, where we keep it during the week, it just gets banged and pushed. And one or two of those legs got, like, cracked off. So I went to facilities, YU facilities department, to ask if they have any creative solutions for the bottom, and they were able to help. They gave me some kind of screw that if you screw it in, it'll sort of be like a leg. But if you look at my hot plate, it is a little bit, you know, it doesn't stay so level. It has a little, it shifts a little bit up and down. So let's say, you know, somebody could easily by mistake, you touch it with your elbow, and a pot that's sitting on it might slip off. So now, could you return it to the hot plate? Well, let's think for a minute. Do I have intent? When it came off, did I have intention to put it on? To put it back on? No. I didn't have any positive intention to return it. But on the other hand, did I have kavana to take it off? Did I have intention to finish the first cooking? Well, I didn't have that either. If we say that you need a positive chiyuvi intent to return it to the flame, I didn't have that, and I'm not going to be able to put it back. But if you say you just have to make sure there was no finishing of the cooking, well, I never intended to remove it and remove it for good, and therefore I will be able to put it back on. Okay, that's a little bit funny. Let me tell you another case. You have a set of Farberware, and you have your 12-quart Farberware, your 10-quart Farberware, your 8-quart Farberware. One of them has the chalent, one of them has the chicken soup, and one of them has the... Help me. The meatballs. Excellent. Okay, I was going to say tzimmes, but I'm the only one here who likes tzimmes. Okay, good. Thank you for meatballs. Okay, so of course you have the 12-quart chalent pot, you have your chalent, the 10-quart chalent pot, the 10-quart Farberware pot, you have your soup, and the 8-quart pot, you have your meatballs. Is that right? Could you repeat that to me, please, now? Rina. Okay, so you know what? I also forgot. I go on Friday night to take off the soup pot, and I take off the 10-quart soup pot. The problem is, the 12-quart was the soup pot, and the 10-quart is my chalent pot. I take it off, and when I serve my soup on Friday night, do I intend to put it back on the flame? Of course not. I'm serving it Friday night. I'm going to take it off the flame, leave it on the counter till, you know, 10 o'clock after the meal. I'm going to clean up the stuff. I'll put it in the fridge. So I took off the wrong pot. I open it up. I say, oh my gosh, this is tomorrow's chalent. That's not so good. Did I have kavana to return it? I did not have kavana to return it. But did I have kavana to finish the chalent being on the flame? I didn't have that either. Oh my gosh, that's our question. If we say, again, this is Lamdish, if we say that you need a positive intention to return it to the flame, I don't have that. I'm not going to be able to return it to the flame. If we see you just need to not be finished with your cooking, you just have to lack the intention of finishing cooking, well, I never have intention to finish cooking here. I wanted my chalent to stay there, and therefore I will be able to return it. Same question. Let me give you a third example. And this could really happen. Let's say you have a blech, and it's right near the window. And it's a hot summer day. So you open your windows in the... You open the window in your kitchen, and lo and behold, a gust of wind comes and blows out your pilot, not your pilot light, the stovetop. Or you have it plugged, you have your hot plate plugged into the wall, and there's a short circuit in your apartment, so the electricity goes out. So those are both scenarios where you had something on a flame, and now you don't have it on a flame anymore. And okay, you're going to figure out either the super is going to come and light the stovetop again, because, I don't know if you could ask him, that's a different question, but it's a sakana because of gas, so he's going to light it even without you asking him, or the electricity just goes back on. Are you going to be able to leave that chalent or that pot, those meatballs that you wanted to have for lunch, on that blech or on that hot plate? After all, this is chazara, right? It was on a flame, off a flame, and now it's going to be back on a flame. Well, let's look at the two sides of our coin. Did you have intention when it went off the flame, meaning when the flame went out, to return it back on the flame? You didn't have any intention. You weren't thinking at all. Maybe you were even sleeping. You didn't have any positive intent to return it to the flame. So if you need positive intent to return something to the flame, you don't have that. You're not going to be able to return it. If, on the other hand, on the flip side of the coin, it's just that you have to make sure you didn't intend to finish cooking. Well, I never intended to finish cooking. I never intended to take this pot off for good. So if that's all the kavanah that's necessary, just not wanting to finish the cooking, then you would be able to put it back on. You would be able to leave it on the flame once the flame gets relit or the electricity gets back on. So we just had a few cases. The most simple case, I didn't like to say it because it's just the most simple case, and it's sort of a dodo case. Let's say you took something off and you weren't thinking anything. So you aren't thinking that I do want to return it. You aren't thinking I don't want to return it. You just weren't thinking. So are you able to return it or not? You don't have intent to, yes, put it back, but neither do you have the intent to finish its cooking and never leave it off. So in all these questions, which are really one question, we have, I think it seems to be, down the line, Reb Shlomo Zalman is Mekel. And therefore, if you mistakenly took the wrong pot off the blech, you're going to be allowed to put it back on. If it fell off the blech or the hot plate with either because of my flaky feet or because of the earthquake, you will be allowed to put it on. If the electricity, the fire went out, you'll be allowed to put it back on. If you had no, your brain wasn't functioning when you took it off at all, you'll be allowed to put it back on. That's all Reb Shlomo Zalman. However, the Sefer Orchos Shabbos cites Reb Yashiv, who says the opposite. And in all those four cases, he says you will not be able to return it. As a conclusion of this part, the Shabbos Kitchen, the Sefer the Shabbos Kitchen, which is an excellent, excellent resource, and I often use his ordering in terms of how to order this series. He is Mekel like Reb Shlomo Zalman, Halach Lemaisa, and I think given that the whole question of Chazara is only an Isser Mide Rabbanan, because Mide Raisa is everything's fully cooked. We're just talking about the Chashash de Rabbanan, you might stoke the coals, it looks like cooking, Shema Yechate or Mechzik Mevashal, since it's only the Rabbanan and it's a Machlokas, I think in this scenario it's appropriate to be Mekel, and one can be Mekel in all those scenarios where you didn't have Kavana to return it, but at the same time you didn't have Kavana to remove it from its cooking source. In all those cases, I think you can be Mekel. Any questions on that section that we just talked about in terms of what are the parameters of the da'as that's necessary for kavana lahachzir? Okay. Let's talk about the final, or perhaps the one of the middle scenario. Yes, Ophira. Excellent question. So let's say you took something. Let's say, forget the case of that you asked about a case where it fell off or you took it off by mistake and then had time to cool down. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about a scenario where you took something off intentionally with the intent to return. Right? Friday night, you wanted to taste the challenge. You took it off and You said, let's taste it. And your friend said, let's taste it. And the other friend said, let's taste it. And between all your friends tasting it, and first you wanted to try the potatoes, and then you try, you know, let me try the barley, and then you try the meat, and then you try a little bit of kishka, and then you try a little bit of... And then each person's, like, you're doing some, maybe comparing different challens one to another, and it's a whole, it takes you half an hour. By the time you finish it, it's, like, no longer hot. Okay? And now you want to know, could you return it? So the need that we have, one of the five conditions is that it has to be cham. You're asking how cham is cham, how hot is hot. The answer to your question that Moshe Feinstein said when he was asked your question was that as long as it's warm enough, that somebody would eat it because it's a warm food. So think of it as a bowl of soup. When you have a bowl of soup, you know when you consider it to be warm enough that you would eat it as a bowl of soup. And when it's below that, it's not, it may be a little more than room temperature, but that's not, you can't, this, you wouldn't eat it. It's not a bowl of soup. So as long as you would, it's hot enough that you would eat it as a hot food, as a warm food, that's hot enough that you could still put it back. Yes, that is the criterion of how hot something has to be in order to la chazara. Yes. If you took some, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, if you took a pot off the flame without any, without thinking, you are permitted to return it. As long as you didn't specifically think about taking it and leaving it off, you will be permitted to return it. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Let's basically finish up the section of the conditions. Almost finish up the section of conditions. Just regarding your question of how warm it has to be, we said that it has to be warm so that you don't... Why do you have to make sure that it's still warm? It's not a chazara question. It's really a halachas hilchas bishul question. And the answer that I gave you, Rav Moshe's answer of how hot something has to be, that's the same cutoff, that's the same parameter as was the parameter for the halachas that we learned about 2 months ago when you have a liquid and you want to know if you could reheat it in whatever context we were talking there, that was the same parameter. In bishul achar bishul, as long as it's still warm enough that somebody would eat as a warm food, that's the same exact parameter. So this has nothing to do with chazara, it has to do with the regular halachas of bishul, and that's the halachas of bishul. As long as something is still warm, enough that you'll eat it as a warm food, that's considered still cooked for a liquid. Yeah. If you take off a challant pot on Friday night and it is not fully cooked, you lost your challant. Cold sarko is the first of the five, and that's a question of a deraisa concern. It's not a question just of the issur d'rabbanan chazara. These five, I said, two of them are bishul concerns. Yours is the main bishul concern, and three are mid'rabbanan, that you have to have a blech and it has to be in your hand with das. But the fact that it has to be a bishul cold sarko is a concern mid'rabbanan. And if you taste, that's why you never take your challan pot off unless you know it is fully cooked. If you're not sure, leave it. Because if you find out that it's not, you're in big, big, big trouble. Excellent question. That's the point I wanted to say right now. There's a machlokas, and I'm not going to get into the machlokas, but let's say you're talking about taking a kugel off. Not a liquid, but you want to take a solid, a kugel or a piece of chicken that's on the flame, you want to take it off the flame and put it back on the flame. So, does that also have to be hot? So that's a machlokas, and how do we paskin in that? The Mishnah Berurah says that one should be careful that anything that they do chazara on should still be hot, even if it is a solid, not a liquid. I think there are those who are mekel, but the Mishnah Berurah is machmir that everything should be hot when you want to return it. That would not be a bishul concern, right? Because according to the halachas of bishul, once something is hot, once something is cooked already, so warmy, it doesn't make a difference. Heat is only significant when it comes to liquids. Edibility, meaning Michael ben Drusari and Mavushal Kotsarko, is the criteria for solids. Okay, Let's talk about the last of the five conditions that we have not yet talked about, and that is the fact that you need a blach, that it has to be garav v'katam, that you can only do chazara when there is a blach. Let's say I am either very frum or don't have a life, and I put up my challenge Friday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. So I'm mamish so frum, I want to mevushel kol tzarka before Shabbos. And Shabbos comes in, do I need a blach? I don't need a blach. I'm going to leave it in the crock pot without any aluminum foil. What problem am I going to enter? What problem will arise? That Friday night, I'm not going to be able to taste it. So therefore, I would advise everybody, even if according for the halachas of shihiya, of leaving something on a flame, on an open flame on Friday afternoon, you are not obligated to use a blech, or a lining, or any other equivalent of a blech, I would still advise you to always have a blech, in case you ever want to take something off and put it back on, to do chazara. That's just a, not a halachic consideration, but a technical and practical consideration. Allow yourself the flexibility, allow yourself the opportunity to always have the possibility of doing chazara. So always, for practical purposes, it's worthwhile to leave your food on a blech, it's worthwhile to line your crock pot in case I knock on your door and I'm at Friday night and I want some challah late at night. That is the first point. You want a blech, crockpot, you should have an aluminum foil. Let's say you want to return something to an adjustable hot plate. So the food is fully cooked. Are you allowed to leave it on and are you allowed to leave a fully cooked piece of food, a fully cooked soup, on a hot plate that is adjustable? Are you allowed to leave a fully cooked soup on a hot plate that is adjustable? Fully cooked food. Shana? 100%, of course you're allowed to. We're not, why are you going to stoke it? Once it's fully cooked, in fact, once it's Michael Ben Jusai, then Mekar, then you're allowed to, if you want to be frum. So once it's fully, you're definitely allowed to leave it, fully cooked food, on an adjustable, you're allowed to leave it on an open flame. You could leave it on a, yes, adjustable hot plate. It's the same as an open flame. But could you do chazara onto it? You're not going to be able to take something off and put it back on unless you have a blech. So therefore, let's say you have a fully cooked soup Friday afternoon. You don't have to cover your adjustable hot plate. But if there's any possibility that you're going to want to take something off and put it back on, then you better make sure that there's a blech on your adjustable hot plate. How do you put a blech on it? That we mentioned 2 weeks ago, that you might want to put some aluminum foil that's like sticking out, so it's not just neatly folded down so it looks like you're keeping your hot plate clean, but you want to make it look like you're doing something to remind you not to adjust it. Some aluminum foil sticking out from the sides and covering the knobs. That will allow you, therefore, to, yes, do chazara and to return something. Most importantly, this I think is the most halacha l'maisa, I guess it's because I have a non-adjustable hot plate, so it's most halacha l'maisa for me, but for anyone else here who has a non-adjustable hot plate, so a non-adjustable hot plate, there's no concern, shem yechata, that you're going to adjust it. Can I do chazara on my non-adjustable hot plate? Now, we spoke 2 weeks ago saying that I will be allowed to leave non-cooked foods on a non-adjustable hot plate because the concern that I might stoke the clothes, I might stoke the coals doesn't exist on a non-adjustable hot plate because there's nothing to stoke, there's nothing to adjust, there's nothing to play with, nothing to tinker with. So I can leave uncooked foods Friday afternoon on a non-adjustable hot plate. Can I? If Shabbos comes in, can I take something off and put it back on? So here, life gets a little bit tricky. This was a question that Rav Shimon Eider Zatzal, a graduate of our yeshiva, and then he lived in Lakewood for many years, and he was the first person to write an English book, a halachic or one of the big people to write a series of English books on halacha, called the Laws of Shabbos. Good title, good catchy title, and it only works if you're the first one to do it. So in Rav Shimon Eider's book, he asks Rav Moshe about, I don't remember, 55 questions or so, and they all become part of one gigantic fundamental tshuva that I quote twice every shir. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvos Orachaim Chelek Dalet, question number 74, Ayin Dalet. And his question is, if you have something that's on a non-adjustable hot plate, could you take it off and put it back on without a blech? So Moshe Feinstein says something, we have to be careful with what he says. He says, if this is a hot plate that is not normally cooked upon, meaning people don't really cook on this hot plate, and that's a loaded term, then you can return something, you can take it off and return it without a blech. Why? Because what are the two concerns that we have for Chazara? What was the big machlokas rishonim when we started this whole discussion on Chazara? What were the two concerns? One is that you might stuck the coals. One is that it looks like cooking. So if you solve both of those problems, says Rav Moshe, you're not going to stuck the coals because it's non-adjustable. There's nothing you could do. Does it look like cooking? Nobody cooks on this. If those two factors are in place, then you will be permitted to return to take something off and put it back on a non-adjustable hot plate without a blech. So now I ask you, does anybody cook on a non-adjustable hot plate? Is there anyone in this room who ever cooks things, not just to keep them warm, but actually cooks them on a non-adjustable hot plate? Hey, I want to make myself some blank. Let's go plug in the hot plate. Does anyone say that here? Nobody. Okay, that's good. That'll make life a little more wakeful for the rest of us. In the 3 minutes that remain for us, we're now going to get to the main point that we've been waiting for all season long, and that is, how do I heat up foods on Shabbos? This is the most exciting part, and that's why I always say we're going to do it next week. I've been doing this for 3 weeks already. I don't know if you noticed. But we're going to get to most of it next week, I hope. Belinader. But we will start this week. So first of all, the foundation of what we've been discussing for the past 2 weeks of Chazara is that when you take something off a flame and you want to put it back on, you're only allowed to put it back on if you're continuing what was happening prior. You're just continuing that it was cooking before, you're just letting it continue to cook. But if you start anew, a nesina chadasha, that's not okay. And for that reason, we said that you have to have in mind you're going to return it. It has to still be in your hand, you didn't put it on the floor or in the fridge. Well, if you just take that logic one extra step, you're going to realize that what comes out from all these halachas of Chazara, from the fact that you have to make sure you're just returning something to the way it was on the flame and not putting something new, it's clear that are you allowed to take something from the refrigerator and put it, something that was in the refrigerator for the past day or two since Thursday night, and put it on a blech, hot plate, adjustable, non-adjustable, stovetop? The answer will be no. A person is not permitted to place any food that was in the refrigerator from Thursday and Friday onto any heating source on Shabbos. Onto a radiator, that we're not talking about. But in terms of putting it on any type of cooking mechanism, you're not permitted to take it out of the fridge if it's been in the fridge for the past day or two and heat it up on Shabbos. Rav Schechter spoke about this recently. And he said that he got a call once from an irate father who just got his daughter's return from seminary. And he calls up Rav Schechter to complain about this terrible seminary and how they are teaching all these weird chumras that he never heard of. And he's, of course, a highly learned gentleman. And his daughter came home from wherever she came home from. I think Rav Schechter might have mentioned the seminary. Given the population that I'm speaking to right now, I will not. And how could the teachers in the seminary tell the girls that they're not allowed to take things out of the fridge and heat them and put them on a blech on Shabbos? It's not like you're putting on a fire, you're putting on a blech. Rav Schechter said, well, it's not a chumra, it's a shulchan aruch. It's not a lacha, there's no question about that. It's not a yes or no, it's not a machlokas. It's a clear-cut cut and dry halacha that something that is has been in the fridge for the past 2 days since Thursday, and you take it out on Shabbos, you are not permitted to put it on a fire, and that we know clearly from the halachas of Chazara, because Chazara only allows a Chazara, not a Nesina Chadasha. But you putting something anew, that is a Nesina Chadasha. But we're going to have to get the parameters of how do I, anyway, figure out ways that I can warm up my food on Shabbos. So I will introduce the first way right now, and Be'ezus Hashem next week, we'll talk about more complicated ways and more perhaps productive ways, but we'll see with the halach parameters of them. The first one that we'll introduce right now, and we'll just introduce it, is a halacha that the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in the Siman Reish Nun Gimel 253, which talks about warming things up, and the halachas of Shehiyah and Chazara. In Se'if Hey, the Shulchan Aruch says the following: you're allowed to place something, a food, on top of another food on Shabbos. Meaning, if I have a pot that's on a fire, I don't care if it's on a blech or no blech. Let's say it's not on a blech. I have a chalen pot on a fire. I have a chalen pot on a crock. I have my crock pot sitting on its base without a blech, without aluminum foil. So I'm permitted to warm up any food that I want, as long as it is, of course, it's already cooked. I'm not cooking it on Shabbos. If I just want to warm something that is pre-cooked, I could warm it up by placing it on top of the chalen pot that is sitting on the flame. This is something that my family does every week. We have the different kinds of crock pots, of course, and the ones with the walls. Those have a more concave roof. You can't put stuff on top so easily. We have a different kind of crock pot called the West Bend, which we'll talk about at some point, which has a flat top, which is wonderful for putting things to warm. So you could put your deli roll on top of that roof of the crock pot, that flat one. You could put your challahs on top of that roof of the crock pot and warm them and have hot deli roll and hot challah, as we do every week. Now, can I do the same thing on top of a pot that doesn't have food in it? Meaning, let's say I have an empty pot. Could I put food on top of an empty pot? Why would I do that? Well, because I want to warm up food. So I take an empty pot, I put it on top of the... I'm not allowed to put food on a flame on Shabbos, but I could take an empty pot and put it on a blech on Shabbos, on a flame, on a blech, and then could I engineer a way for me to cook, to warm up this deli roll? Could I engineer a way to warm up this challah? What about what's called the kedera blech? A kedera blech is a cookie pan, is that the right word? A square cookie pan, it looks like a big tray with a half an inch or a three-quarter inch rim all around the four sides, and just a metal tray that goes on top of that. So what is it? It's a kettle. I fill it with water, it's a kettle with not so much water in it, but it's not an empty pot, it's a pot that's cooking something. Can I now put more food, could I put my deli roll on top of that to warm up? Because that's putting my food on top of something that's a previously cooking pot. It's just like putting my food on top of a chalon pot. Isn't it the same? So Be'ezus Hashem, next week we'll talk about that, and next week, God willing, we will also talk about putting things directly onto blechs from refrigerators, from not refrigerators, and Blina, there we will get to it next week.